Hello, I'm Jen Taylor, host of the Design Your Wedding Business podcast. I am letting you know that I have created a great quiz that will help you figure out which of the eight CEOs you need to be working on and the tasks that would benefit you the most. I hope you hop down to the show notes, click the link, and take the quiz. I promise it's a quick 2-minute quiz, and I can't wait to see what your feedback is. Thank you. Hey, I'm Jen Taylor, and you're listening to Design Your Wedding Business. As a wedding business coach, I've made it my mission to help creative entrepreneurs build streamlined workflows, processes, and procedures so they can grow their business and spend time on what they love the most, their craft, their family, and their lives. I understand how you feel, and I know it may not be fun to put in the work to build a well-oiled machine, but luckily for you, that's what I love to do. On this podcast, I'm teaching you how to take the stress and chaos out of your business, remove the guesswork, and discover a clear, profitable path to sustainable growth. Let's get started. Hello, welcome to the Design Your Wedding Business podcast. I am Jen Taylor, your host. How do you tell if you're going in the right direction? Key performance indicators, otherwise known as KPIs, are the best way to see how your business is doing. But what are KPIs? They are quantifiable measurements using to gauge a company's overall long-term performance. KPIs especially help determine a company's strategic, financial visibility, and operational achievements. Yes, you can create KPIs for all of that. Today's episode, we are going to be focusing on what KPIs you need for visibility and a little bit of financials. A marketing consultant and small business owner, Taylor is the founder of Engie. Though you may recognize her from one of her many other companies, Tailored Media and Design and Source Co. In her newest endeavor, Taylor is taking everything she's learned nearly a decade of helping small businesses with marketing to design and build a suite of online marketing tools that fit your lifestyle and make sense for you. Because while you didn't sign up to be chief marketing officer, your CMO of your business at Engie, we believe becoming one doesn't have to be so daunting. And our goal is to empower you with the tools and solutions you need to be making more informed decisions, use the resources more effectively, and get creative with how you connect with customers and ultimately grow your business. Welcome, Taylor. Taylor, thank you so much. I'm so excited to talk about a topic no one's excited about, which is key performance indicators.
Yeah, you know, you can always trust me to be the person that's going to talk about the thing that no one wants to talk about or say the thing that no one else has the guts to say. So I am ready to dive in.
So what is a KPI?
So it's one of those jargony, and I know people can't see the face that I just made, but I made a face. Just know that. It's jargony marketing terms. And really what you can replace KPI with in your mind is just metrics or insights, right? Those are words that a lot of us are a lot more familiar with because they show up in different pieces of software that we're already using, like social media. And so KPIs are basically just numbers, but they do two different things. Is they help you understand the health of your business, which is very important, usually tied to money. And then the other thing that they do is they help us understand the impact of our marketing, which is important to know because that also trickles down into how healthy is your business. Because if you don't have impactful marketing, then the big question is, how are you getting clients and paid, right? So KPIs are really this foundational, fundamental piece of marketing that can really help you become a better business owner and a smarter business owner and a more informed business owner without having to learn anything super complicated.
Yep. So why should you track KPIs regardless how big or small a business you are?
You know, this is something that when I was first starting out with my marketing consulting business, I'm not going to lie, I was not tracking numbers because I thought like, well, you know, it's just me. So can't I just see everything that I need to see? And when I started Sourced Co., I made this conscious decision that I'm going to do a better job at this, right? I'm going to be more of a grown-up in this situation because this is not my first rodeo and I should learn from some things that I didn't do in the past. And then when I launched Engie, it was like 100% for sure, we are tracking all these numbers, but I need a different way to track it. And I share that because, you know, a lot of solo operators, I'm going to call out the wedding planners in the room.
You can.
And the photographers, right? Like anyone who is sitting there thinking, well, I'm just a business party of one. A lot of people think like how I used to think, that I'm too small to need to do this. On the opposite side of the spectrum, you have these, you know, big rental companies and catering companies and venues, and they live and die by their numbers. Most of them like live and die by their numbers, right? Because they are sales-driven organizations. And so the reason that it's important, regardless of which camp you're in, is because when you start tracking KPIs, that is how you start to see what's working and what's not in your business. And sometimes what you emotionally think is so great, right? You have like all the warm and fuzzies and touchy feelies about this part of your business. Sometimes the numbers are going to come in and like kick you in the face because you realize that even though you're emotionally attached to this part of your business, that it really isn't adding value by means of bringing you in money. Mm-hmm. And then you start to realize where things are just a total time suck and a waste, right? I'm sure you see that with folks as well.
I track right now. I'm not tracking a ton, but I am going through and looking at my newsletter and going, where are they clicking? So I see, and there was times I'm like, I'm getting a ton of clicks on contacts. Why is no one contacting me? So now I've got to dig into like, what's the message around that? Is there something there? Or I don't say I have a huge email list. I have a good size email list. And, you know, I've built it up over time. And then I'm looking at them like, it's okay if I lose these people. They're no longer my people or they're no longer whatever. And they're done. Sometimes there's the vanity ones, like, you know, looking at your Instagram or your Facebook. So I track that. I track the podcast and see where things are. So
yeah,
it's not just numbers. It's not just that, but it's also like, is the messaging going through?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to know and discover for yourself that numbers can help you find the gaps and the holes in your business, or maybe like the leaks in your proverbial boat, right? So that example that you gave about contact, that you have all these people clicking contact, and this is the case for basically everyone. You're like, why did 794 people land on my contact page last month and like no one contacted me? Right. But if you don't look at these numbers, then you don't know that you have an opportunity to better your business. It, even if it's just a really small thing that you're doing, when you start to see opportunities like that, again, even if they're small, if you start to, you know, make those changes and fixes, then over time you've made like these really big advantageous adjustments to your business, all in the name of making it more efficient, which I'm pretty sure everybody is wanting and hoping that just a more efficient business falls out of the sky on top of them.
Yes.
And so the numbers really, there's so much power in it because they help you strategize. They help you make really smart decisions. And then also, regardless of how small or large your business and company is, they also start helping you make projections about your business and what you can expect to see in the future.
How do you figure out what KPIs to track?
Yeah, this is the question that after people look at me and go, well, that's a KPI. The second question they ask is, well, how do I know which KPIs to track for my business? And there are two places that I recommend people looking. And the first one is by looking at your goals.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at like goals are everything. I mean, it's like the most simple concept, but setting business goals, marketing goals, sales goals, they really are step one across the board. So when you look at your goals and you are like taking a moment to take it in, then you have to ask yourself, what are the numbers that would help me to understand whether or not I'm making progress toward these goals. And so an example would be a lot of wedding business owners tell me that a big goal they have basically year after year, the never ending one, is I would like to book more weddings, right? So that's a great goal. But what does that look like? How many weddings do you want to book this year, next year, and for the few years out? And when you go a level deeper, in order to understand whether or not you're making progress toward that goal of booking more weddings, you need to track your number of leads coming in so that you see, right, like, hey, if I want to book X number of weddings, I kind of need Y number of leads. And then also you can start tracking basically your booking process. So you do X number of leads a month, you're scheduling Y number of consultations, you're sending Z proposals, and then going to go back to A contracts, right? So you start to get this very holistic understanding of how your business is operating toward reaching that goal. And the second place to look is just going straight to your marketing channels. And if someone's like, what's a marketing channel? Just a fancy way of saying where you do your marketing. So, you know, you, Jen, mentioned your email list and social media already. A big one for any service provider, but definitely in the wedding industry. I've yet to meet someone who hasn't told me that their best marketing channel is referrals, right? So when you look at your marketing channels, you then want to think about what do you need to know in order to judge whether or not that marketing channel is successful? And so for referrals, at minimum, you should be tracking leads by referral source, right? Not just like throwing them all into one bucket and saying, I got 7 leads this month. Well, like, where did they come from? Right? And so breaking it down to that level is really great. And then to take it one step further, for all of the type A teacher's pets, like, you know, A plus students in the room, then tracking not just how many leads you're getting by referral source, but tracking how many are actually booking you so that you see your close rate by referral source. And then you know, where do I need to focus my time and energy in nurturing these relationships, right?
I mean, we had a sales tracker that had all of that information, you know, when they came in, where they came from, and then, you know, the sales process after that, their consult, their this, their that, following up, all of that. And then if they moved down to a sale, then we recorded that. And there was a whole spreadsheet just on, this is how many contacts I need. And it's a lot. I mean, I was a BNI chapter director for Business and Networking International. And so we'd have these visitor days. And they had this whole thing about, you need to have to get 10 visitor, you know, to get 10 new people into the chapter, you probably need to reach out to 500 people, because half of those people are going to say no. Half of them are going to say, well, maybe. Half of that are going to sign up. And then maybe half of that will show up. And then half of them will sign up.
Yeah.
Rule of half and half and half and half.
It gets pretty brutal, right?
It is brutal. So you have to think about it as a bigger picture. And those leads from those referrals and those venues, or the photographers, or the, you know, those are gold.
Yep. And to just give people a little bit of insight into, you know, the types of numbers that I know we need to hit at NG. Like, at the time we're recording this, we're 10 months post-launch. So we're still like a tiny little baby business. But I know that I basically need to get 300 people starting a trial every month in order to be on track to hit our goals. Yeah, I know you guys can't see our faces, but the scale is crazy, right? But that might be the kind of scale that you're operating at if you have a volume-based wedding business, like rentals, caterers, right? Like all those folks again, you might need to get hundreds of like potential couples or clients actually contacting you to hit your close rate. And so knowing that number, that's why people talk about knowing your booking rate or your conversion rate. That's why people are broken records about it. Is again, because it ties back to helping you make strategic, smart decisions, because you know where things might go because you're projecting from what you've learned in the past. So Yeah, like KPIs. I hope even by now people are like, okay, I need to.
I get it. I mean, I'm working with a client now. And so she's just starting her business. She's been, you know, we're looking at ways to make her visible.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we'll start working on the KPIs around that. Like that is a huge part of it is, okay, here's your goals. Now, what are the performance indicators that you want to do around that? And a lot of them, you know, have to do with just getting out and being visible and then tracking how many people come from those channels. So, So where do you get the numbers from?
This is where there's no common thread answer. It depends on where you are doing your marketing, right? Like what your marketing channels are. It also depends on what pieces of software you might be using. So to speak in broad strokes, you are I'll say it this way. There are some common places that people can expect to need to go to find these numbers. And the first one is Google Analytics or your website's analytics page, right? Because we want to understand how our website is performing because, spoiler alert, all of your marketing points people to your website. And so you want to make sure that it is doing the work that you need it to do 24/7. So Google Analytics and backend website, you know, pages is always typically somewhere where I'm like, yes, you need to be aware of where these things are and how to move through them. The second place is probably social media, right? So because that is such a huge marketing channel for most wedding business owners. So looking at your Instagram professional insights on that dashboard, occasionally going into Facebook, right? Because that's, you know, it's still a thing. It's very much alive and well for a lot of wedding pros. Like I hear it all the time. It actually, it's not dead, folks. Like it might be dead for Gen Z, but if your ideal client is like geriatric millennial like I am or
the moms like I would be. I mean, I am getting to the age of like, if I had kids,
yeah,
getting to the point of getting married or doing that. And I'm not totally active on either one of them, but I am definitely looking at both. And when I start researching for my own business or for my own consumption of something, I am looking to see if they're active on both Instagram and Facebook. Because if they're not, then I'm like, okay, are they still around?
Exactly. Is this business folded?
Yeah. I do that as a research. And then having that name grab is a huge part of it.
Yep. So, you know, whatever social media platforms you're on, you're going to go and look at those insights, you know, to throw Pinterest into the mix as well, right? A lot of people are very active there. Then your CRM is probably in the mix here for understanding how many leads, how many contracts, like all of that part or everything about and related to the booking process. But then also, if your CRM isn't capturing it, which I don't know why it wouldn't, but you might be leaning on some of your bookkeeping software to get specific numbers. So those are kind of the main buckets that people tend to be going to. There's, depending on your level of sophistication and your like or dislike of numbers, you might want to go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah,
but most people are like, just tell me the bare minimum so that I'm covering my own ass and I'll do that.
I know.
And then, right? So that's where you should look if you're just wanting to get those foundational numbers and know where you need to go to find them.
And I use HoneyBook. I use, you know, Aisle Planner. I'll do those things, but I still track my sales on a spreadsheet because then I can see I have it automatically set up where it tells me when I need to follow up with them. So if I have a consult with them, before I do my last contact, it's going to say, okay, you need to do your next contact on these times. Well, you know, yes, HoneyBook. I mean, yeah, HoneyBook can do all that. I'll probably still use binders until my last wedding forever. So some of those things don't have to be complicated. So if you're a new person or somebody who's newer in business and going, I can't afford to do all of that, Excel spreadsheet is just fine.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to creating different systems for your business, it really is about finding things that fit into the puzzle that is your brain, right? And I know that this is slightly off topic, but it makes sense in the context of like this part of the conversation. I know a lot of people are always looking for that like all-in-one solution. You guys, I'm just going to tell you, I hope that other people are out there beating this drum also and with me, but it's never going to exist because everybody's brain works so differently. So like what you consider to be an all-in-one solution is not going to, like what I consider that to be is not what Jen considers that to be, is not what you consider that to be. And so it's totally fine to use different resources, pieces of software in different capacities to create something that feels really good for you and is something that you are actually going to commit to. And that's fine. That's why when you hear certain people saying like, you don't have to use every tool, that's fact. You don't have to use everything. And so if you want to use a CRM like HoneyBook in conjunction with a spreadsheet, because that's how you do your best and most efficient work, by all means, please go forth and do that.
Yeah. I mean, I use the tools to benefit how I want it to work. And I sit there and I ruminate on these things and I go through and I'm like, even now I've got to go through. I'm like, okay, what do I really want to have as my systems? It's a time for me to sit down and do that. And I'm like, okay, do I still want to use these things, these program tools in my toolbox? And then how would I use them? But going back to the KPIs, they are all ways to get the information you need. If you have a mailing list, use it. Find out what's going on there. You know, for wedding pros, I mean, for tailored events, I'm bringing back irresistible free offer. What does that look like? That's not sure, but it will be on the website. It will then grab, you know, email addresses.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one thing in the toolbox for that.
Yep. I mean, the big picture point here, I think that both Jen and I are trying to make is like, you don't want to fly blind. That's what it comes down to. Don't fly blind.
It is true. So we've talked about this. We've gone around, how do you organize those numbers? As I said, mine are a lot in a spreadsheet.
Yep. And that's actually where I started, was with a spreadsheet. But hi, my name is Taylor, and I could not create a formula in a spreadsheet to save my life. All I could do is highlight cells to get a sum. That is the extent of my spreadsheetiness. And so, you know, I was using a spreadsheet to track KPIs for Sourced, and it worked really well for at least a few years, where, you know, I had one spreadsheet and each, I created a tab for, you know, year over year. Mm-hmm. And then the columns across the top were the months, and then the rows down the left were the actual KPIs. And then I would drop in the numbers in the cells. Yeah. Right. So like totally functional. But after, it's funny, like every once in a while, I go back and I look at this spreadsheet just to remind myself of where I was. And the first couple of years when we were just tracking a few things, it was functional. Like, you know, you could see pretty much get the gist of what the numbers were telling you. But then as I started tracking a few more things, there's a point in time where I started trying to color code cells to indicate whether or not I was on track or off track. And eventually it just got to the point where the more data I had, the less the numbers were telling me, because I'm not a spreadsheet person, right? So I got to a point where I was like, this doesn't work anymore. It's just cool. I've documented my numbers, but it stopped being useful and empowering for me. So that's an option. Like if you are a spreadsheet power user, go at it. I just want you to track your KPIs. If you're like me and you're like, this doesn't work, then that's a big part of the reason why we designed the KPI tool in Engie to be what it is, where it's as simple as dropping your numbers into a cell, but then Engie creates charts and graphs for you. And so you can visually take in that information without having, like, even the spreadsheet dum-dums like me, you like still get a lot of information out of it. I mean, there are more sophisticated pieces of software that are just dedicated to tracking metrics, but those are probably overkill for 99% of us. And they're also typically what you call enterprise level pieces of software, where they're meant for big companies who are going to spend $500 a month on one thing. And again, that's not us. So yeah, so those are kind of the two options that you've got. You can do the traditional spreadsheet, or if you're looking for something that's a little more user-friendly, then Engie's a great tool for that.
Awesome. Yeah, I can't wait. I've been sitting there and I haven't gone in and dug into it. And that's something that I've told Taylor, that you'll see me digging into Engie as a user to show all of us how it works and this KPI tool I'm really excited to now dig into and see what it is and all.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I'll probably still track sales on a separate sheet, but that's okay.
That's totally fine.
So when someone's going in there, so they're in the NG tool or they're in their spreadsheet, I mean, I'm just looking for numbers over numbers. Like I'm just looking for a trend or something happening. I'm not looking for anything more than that at this point. Like the contacts, I'm like, okay, I get all these contacts, you know, like, what is that? What does that look like? What am I even looking at for those numbers? When I'm looking at my, you know, you've come your goals, you've created your KPIs, you now have it in NG. And now what do I need to look for?
Yeah. Whether you're looking at KPIs in NG or in a spreadsheet, there are three kind of big things that I think people need to try to be able to identify. And that's patterns, relationships, and trends, like you already said, right? Like the trends help us predict and project things and also understand like, hey, I mean, we typically want things to go, if you're looking at a graph, like up and toward the right. That's where we want the trend line to go. We don't want to see trend lines that are down and to the right. So that's one of the things that you want to be able to consume from your numbers. The other thing is patterns and relationships. And this is where being able to basically have KPIs that are quote unquote side by side really helps. So a good example of relationships would be if within one chart of your NG dashboard, you're tracking both the number of leads you're getting every month and the number of booked clients that you're doing. And so that helps you see your conversion rate, your booking rate, but it shows you that relationship between leads and booked clients every month, right? So that's an example of that. And obviously, for that example, we want to see those, you know, two numbers or two lines being almost the same. We don't want to see a big gap. And then when it comes to patterns, this is more of the like power user-ish, like the number nerd who's going to start to experiment a little bit more with trying to figure out if I do X, does Y happen? But a sort of more concrete and possibly relatable, I don't know. I don't think a lot of wedding business owners are running ads, but you know, one of the patterns that I look for in ads is, you know, across the board, like if you're looking at a whole bunch of ads, is am I maintaining the right sort of click-through rate from the ad, like the ad as you see it in your feed to the actual ad and then going deeper, right? Like, again, that's more when you're super comfortable and ready to take things to the next level.
Which, you know, do you have an A and B ad and all that stuff?
Yeah. And that's where I think I'm sure you know of her. She's probably also a friend, but like Christy Osborne, that's where like Christy Osborne, if you want to get into that level of stuff, she's your girl. So you can go there. Again, Taylor's like, let's do this in the most simple, accessible way. But those are the things that you're wanting to look for because they, again, they really help you just make smarter decisions and decisions that are a mix of what your gut and intuition are telling you, like guiding you toward, because we all have those feelings. This is not like a woo-woo thing. We all have an intuition that leads us toward making certain decisions in our business. But when you can back up your intuition or give it a, you know, a gut check with numbers, then you can be so confident in the decisions that you're making for your business, because you're not just like taking a wild stab at it. It's like, okay, well, this is what I'd like to try. And then the numbers confirm that it's not a crazy idea and I should do this. So those are the things that you're looking for. And then just, you know, some of what you can start to do when you've got the data.
And the KPIs can give you what the return on investment is for whatever, you know, project you're looking at. So if you're doing a ton of networking and nothing's coming from it. Okay, there's two answers or there's two things to look at. Are you going and are you being visible or are you, you know, this just not your people?
Yeah.
With, you know, if you're doing, you know, any advertising on any of the major wedding platforms, are you getting anything from those and what is it? Are they converting? If they're not, then that's something to, I mean, you can take these KPIs and then look at your business from them a year after year going, okay, yes, you know, whatever they call them, the wedding wire, the knot, whatever. Yes, working, or no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can just go to a free version and be just fine and still get all the freaking reviews in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that? You know, in Seattle, there's not many. I mean, there's one magazine that caters to wedding clients.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're advertising, you want to look at that and saying, what is working? They're not going to know. Like I asked, they're like, I Googled. I'm like, you Googled Maui Wedding Planner and I came up? That's crazy. I'm going to Google Maui Wedding Planner and see if I come up, because that's, you know, you get that information from them and you can start then writing down those things or putting them in your, you know, and that's where I can put in my spreadsheet, Google.
Yep. And that's such a, you know, if I'm going to call everyone out on one more thing, it's that a lot of people are gathering information about how their leads are finding them, right? It's in your contact form in most cases, or you're asking the question on a consultation, but the numbers don't ever make it out of those places. And so they basically just dissolve into the abyss that is the internet, because you haven't then taken that information and documented it somewhere. So there's, you know, I'm guessing that there's some people listening to this episode. And they're like, well, yeah, like I finger quotes that you can't see, track those numbers. And it's like, no, are you really tracking them, or are you just collecting the data? Because those are two different behaviors. So you have to follow through and take the information that you're asking of people and from people and then give it a tally mark somewhere, right? Because that's then you putting that knowledge to good use.
And that's a total, you know, that's when you look at your pricing. Every 6 months, I look at my pricing. Is it working? Is it not? Is it too much? Is it not enough? You know, am I booking at 90%? Okay, I'm going to raise my rates. If I'm booking at 20%, okay, let's look at lowering. It's okay. But then you can look at your stats at that point going, okay, where and who are, you know, am I getting referrals, or I'm getting, you know, I saw you at, or I saw you on, you know, wedding shows, open houses, things like that all count.
They all count.
I had to write a note. I'm doing my first open house in 4 years. And so I'm like, okay, I need to get a freaking linen for this table, and I got to order flowers, you know, things that I've thought about in my head. I go, yeah, I'll work on that. I'm like, crap, it's like next week. And, you know, creating a form for them to give me their name and number and giving them, you know, I'm going like, I'm giving away a freaking notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And then having my book there as an option for them to buy. Well, like, hey, stress-free wedding planning book right here. It's super easy to read. So those are things. But if I can get their names, okay, great. They're all going to go into some kind of spreadsheet or CRM or mailing list, and they'll start getting on the, you know, the train there. So
yep.
Having that and having a process around how you gather that information will be beneficial when it comes to the KPIs that you're going to be tracking.
Yeah, because then after, you know, you've gone through the sales cycle for or from this wedding show, you will be able to make a good judgment about whether or not it was worth your time, energy, and money. And, you know, full circle, that's what we're trying to run: efficient and healthy businesses that make a good use of our time, money, and resources. And so you can't fly blind with this. You only get to that point if you are doing the grown-up thing and tracking some numbers.
Yeah. And, you know, saying, okay, this isn't working for me anymore. Time for it to go. And that's okay. And that's, you know, whether it's a relationship, whether it's an ad, whether it's an open house that you've always done for the last, you know, 10 years, 5 years, whatever. If it's not bringing you anything in, is it worth it? And it's not worth it because you're friends with them.
Mic drop.
Because there's times you're like, oh, but they're so nice to me. You know, no.
That's the brutality that is business.
That's right. That's right. So as always, my last question to you is, what is your best piece of mindset advice?
Ooh, my best piece of mindset advice. That was oddly hard to say.
Me as well.
You know, as a marketing consultant, so many people start their conversations with me saying some form of, I hate marketing. And from a mindset perspective, that's pretty terrible, because you're never going to do something that you continually and repeatedly tell yourself that you hate doing. So I'm going to take this opportunity to submit a formal request to all of you to work on shifting that mindset that you have around marketing. I mean, I actually have a giant post-it note here in my office at home, and it says things small business owners say to me. And I write things down. I don't put names to it.
No.
Because it's just like for me to know.
Oh my God.
No. But it's things that people say to me because I am really trying to understand the emotional side of this. But just the other day, someone said to me, marketing is the last thing I ever want to do. And I get it. Basically, most people are like that. I get it. But if you tell yourself that you can't, or you tell yourself that you won't, guess what? You can't and you won't. So I want people to shift into the mindset that if I work on my marketing, this is good for my business. And if I do what's good for my business, it's actually really good for me.
We'll still have this conversation because the two episodes prior to our episode, I talk about this. And if you don't like marketing, fine, you can say that. But it's visibility. You need to have visibility in your business. So don't just take the word marketing and just cross it off and say, how do I want to be visible in my business? Because that's what you're doing. You're trying to be visible in your business. And how you do that is multiple ways. That is because I get all wound up. I mean, yes, it is part of doing business. And there's many other things that are part of doing business. But if you say, I don't like marketing, then don't go into business.
Ooh, that's the other mic drop.
It's because that's what you have to do to get out there. I know this. I've lived it. I've done both. And believe me, I can hermit with the best of them. But I know to improve my business, I have to be visible. And there's multiple different ways to be visible. And you have to touch all of them. So yes, agreed on that. So where can my listeners find more about you again?
Yes. Well, in case you should go back and listen to the last conversation that Jen and I had.
I'll put a link to that. I've got a list of three different podcasts for them to listen to from this one.
Fantastic. So definitely go give those a listen. And if you'd like to connect, I am a geriatric millennial. Like I already said, you will find me on the gram. Our Instagram handle is at ng_co, and that's ENJI_CO. Our website is just ng.co, but you know, I have multiple corners of the internet, but that's the one that I am currently playing on the most.
Yes. And I will have all the links to all the places you're at on there. So they'll be in the show notes.
Awesome.
Taylor, thank you again. We can go on and on and on. I thank you for being on the podcast again, talking about the KPIs.
Thank you so much for having me, Jen. I really had a fantastic time.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Design Your Wedding Business. If you love what you're learning each week, please let me know by leaving a rating and a review. And while you're there, don't forget to follow the show so you don't miss out on any new episodes. As always, you can head over to my website, jentaylorconsulting.com, to check out all the links and resources from this episode in the show notes. I'll talk to you all next week.